Don't say, good morning, church. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday? the subject of my message this morning is the gift of an undivided heart. And God wants to be first in our lives. In fact, he's actually commanded us to make him and to keep him first in our lives. And we see in the very first commandment in Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods besides me. And also when Jesus was questioned by one of the Pharisees about what was the most important commandment, we read in Matthew 22, 37 to 38, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And what he's really talking about is being all in for God. And again, just a little bit of context here. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the whole inner person. It's talking about spirit, mind, emotions, and the will. For you and for me, the real you, the real me, at our deepest and our most fundamental level. And we could also look at the heart maybe as the control center, because it's where we form our intentions, it's where we make our decisions, it's where we take our actions. And it's really the judge of all the moral choices that we make. In talking about devotion to God, Charles Spurgeon, who was a very famous 19th century preacher, had this to say. He said, a jealous God will not be content with a divided heart. He must be loved first and best. And that whole idea of a jealous God, it's not in the human sinful sense of jealousy and envy. But when God says that he's a jealous God, what he's saying is that he demands our worship and our devotion because it's his right to have it.
Yeah.
And what Spurgeon was saying was really echoed what Jesus had been saying when teaching his disciples. In Matthew 10:37, we read, anyone who loves his father and mother more than he loves me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And again in Matthew 12:30, whoever's not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Very strong words. Because God will not share his glory. And there's no half measures, there's no sitting on the fence. In fact, as I've pondered that, I don't think there actually is a fence to sit on. There's no neutrality. God demands our complete allegiance. So, how do we get to this place of making God first in our lives, and perhaps more importantly, keeping him first in our lives? I believe that we get there first by declaring our allegiance, our loyalty to God, and we stay there by keeping our hearts directed towards God. And this getting there and this staying there is all a work of God's grace in our lives, a work of the Holy Spirit. That's a huge topic, but it's all about God's free and unmerited favour towards us who are not really deserving. So, we declare our allegiance by, first of all, turning away from our sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and by receiving him as our Lord and Saviour. And when we do that, God says that we're a new creation. We read in 2 Corinthians, which has already been quoted by Mark Jolan. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So when we become this new creation, our heart is changed, it's renewed. And there's a radical change of direction that goes with that. When we're born again, we come out of darkness, which is really the confined place of godlessness, and we come into a light and a spacious place. And this is what Jesus had to say about that in John 8, 32. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as I sort of reflected on that, just tried to think about what that means, one picture I had was about if I've got my back to a light source, the shadow is in front of me. But if I turn and I face that light source, the shadow is behind me. Now, the shadow hasn't changed its position, but I've changed my position. And when I'm facing the light, I believe I can see more clearly. And it also just brings to mind that scripture in the Psalms from David, is that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that's the starting point. There's a change of allegiance, a change of heart, where we begin to put Christ first in our lives, above ourselves. Just like John the Baptist, he must become greater and I must become less. So the important question, how do we keep God first in our day-to-day lives? I believe that the key is a willingness to look to God in all things and for all things. A commitment to obey and to have wanting to please God above all else. It's not really a matter of perfection, but it's an attitude of heart towards God, an attitude that enables God to work in us for his glory. And David was a great example of this. He knew where his allegiance lay, and he had a right attitude, heart attitude towards God. And we really see this demonstrated in his confrontation with Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:41-47, Goliath had been taunting Saul and the armies of Israel for 40 days. And as David came forward to accept the challenge, Goliath was again taunting him, saying that he was going to kill him and throw his carcass to the birds and the wild animals. And this is the response that David had. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not the sword by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Now, I don't know about you, but can you really sense the God confidence in that statement? God had saved David from the lion and the bear as he was attending his father's flocks. And David had a real boldness, a God confidence, not in himself, but in his Lord. And I think the thing that really came through is that for this moment he was God ordained, and perhaps even more importantly, he was God prepared. And the thing is that God considered this David a man after his own heart. And we read in Acts 13:22, "And after removing Saul, he, that is God, made David their king. He testified concerning him that I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." I mean, what a commendation, but also what a responsibility. David wasn't perfect. He'd committed many sins, including some very serious ones, adultery and murder. But the thing was, is that his heart was turned towards God. He had a soft heart in many respects. He was quick to repent. And we see that in Psalm 51 in his prayer of repentance. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." And again, in one of the other Psalms, when he's seeking the Lord, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me your give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." I just want to quickly come back again to Jesus. At the beginning, he spoke about the allegiance that he was seeking from his followers. And in his earthly ministry, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, he modeled that allegiance that he was looking for. He always put the Father first. We read in John 5:30, "By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me." And again in Gethsemane, when he knew what was coming on the cross, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, that your will be done." So, what God wants from us, he wants an undivided heart. He wants a heart after his own heart. And the thing is that he's offering that to us as a free gift. And that's why I've entitled the message, "The Gift of an Undivided Heart." Because in the beginning, he gives us a new heart. That's how it all starts. That's a gift. And then, for us to be able to continue living in ways that please him, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we might continue to do this. So, I think we really have to want it. So let's seek to please our Heavenly Father like Jesus did. Let's be God-dependent like David, asking for a clean heart, asking for an undivided heart, asking for a loyal spirit, asking for a willingness to obey. And the thing is, God will do it. I believe God will do it. It's there for the asking. And again, we see, and this is a scripture that Bruce brought in the message last Sunday, 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, so that he may support those whose heart is completely his." And just to finish, Philippians 2:12-13, I think this is a really crucial verse and a huge encouragement to us. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And here's the thing, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And that's the thing, it's God's grace and power to those whose hearts are directed towards Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you don't require anything of us except that you give us the desire and the ability to respond. Lord, we are just so conscious of our desperate need of you in all things. Lord, we can't live this life without you. But the desire of our hearts is to live this life, is to put you first, is to have a heart that's directed towards you, an undivided heart, a heart that is completely yours. And Lord, we're trusting you to bring us to that point and to keep us at that point, Lord, to the glory of your name. Amen.